Bizarre.
WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
A bag containing 27 pairs of human hands.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, the grisly discovery was made on a river island near the Siberian city of Khabarovsk, and local police are now investigating. At first, a single hand was discovered, but then nearby, the mother lode was found, a bag containing no less than 54 severed hands.
Give wow. Me a hand.
Photos of the scene.
Now, I get bag of hands delivered to my house once a month.
Photos of the scene, I saw them. It's messed up, man. Show the hands.
Just random hands.
Spilled out into a single pile and then organized into 27 matching pairs and placed in rows. The bag of hands was discovered on an island in the Amur River. That's a great name for a band, by the way. Bag of Hands.
Bag of Hands.
In southeastern Russia, close to the Chinese border. Investigators have managed to lift a pair of fingerprints belonging to one of the hands. No information was given about the age of the hands or whether they may have been discarded or when they may have been discarded, but the images suggest they are reasonably fresh.
Not a finger!
Local police have no leads at this point. But
oh, my God. We're looking at a picture of it.
Yeah. There are two theories behind what happened here, and either the hands were cut off as punishment for theft, or more plausibly, they were cut off in a medical institution.
Oh, okay. So
perhaps as amputations, but weird and unlikely given that they were found in matching pairs, though. Or they were chopped off of cadavers as practice for medical students. Indeed, as a local media is reporting, medical bandages and hospital-style plastic shoe covers were found next to the remains. Normally, amputated limbs are incinerated, but maybe somebody got cheap or lazy, collected the hands and the bag, and then discarded them on this remote island.
Do you think they were used for making hand turkeys?
I don't know. Oh, yeah, you could do that.
Yeah.
Put little eyeballs right, on there and
the
everything.
Thing, it's very cool.
Yep. Wow.
Where's the bag of D's?
An East Texas man violated a protective order by hiding in his ex-girlfriend's trunk. Spencer Cornell Brown was arrested Wednesday. The ex-girlfriend called police around 8:30 a.m. after encountering Brown outside of a Walmart. She told officers
of course
that she had heard movement from her vehicle, and then Brown, against whom she had recently obtained a protective order, calling her name. After she parked the car, she said Brown got out of the trunk.
Hi, sweetie.
And then she ran into the store and called 911. Several minutes later, an officer saw Brown nearby, recognized him from a police bulletin after a previous allegation that he violated the protective order. Brown at first told the officer his name was Jerry, but eventually
Jerry Brown
admitted, that he was lying. Police said that they did not know how long he had been hiding in the trunk. He was arrested on two accounts of violating a protective order.
I am the governor of California.
Oh, my God. Okay, hang on. Sorry. I had the wrong part of another story stapled to the back of that.
You should have read it that way just to see if it worked out.
It says, after chemotherapy, Julius, who turned 5 at the end of February, is now feeling well enough to be released at home.
Well, that's encouraging.
It's a good story. It goes with a completely different thing.
Yeah.
I'll get to that.
At least it was a happy ending to a story we never heard.
Right. Yes, it does have a happy ending.
Yeah.
Jacksonville police searched for a suspect wanted by several departments after receiving an anonymous tip. They received the tip about a wanted felon. His name was Dreshdarian Montel Hunter, also known as Stinky Butt.
Stinky Butt. This sounds very, very almost mythical, almost Lord of the Rings-ish.
The caller said Hunter was walking...
Game of Thrones.
...walking around the area of Lincoln Park. The caller also said he was wearing a black hoodie and black jeans. Jacksonville police responded and saw Hunter, who immediately fled on foot into a wooded area. Here's the thing about Stinky Butt. Is he gets away a lot.
Because his butt is so stinky?
I don't know. Police set up a perimeter, brought in canine units as well as a helicopter, and they were not able to locate Stinky Butt.
Mr. Butt, would you please approach the bench? Stinky, please.
Hunter is the same suspect who was a carjacking suspect taken into custody in November. He initially gave police his brother's name instead of his own. He was suffering injuries from a suspected car wreck when he was found in that incident, so he was taken to the hospital. When a police officer was transporting him from the hospital to jail, he jumped out of the wheelchair and escaped from custody, and Stinky Butt was on the lam.
The great thing about Stinky Butt is it gives the less capable bloodhounds a chance to have their moment in the sun.
That's true. A search ensued at that time as well, but officials were unable to locate Stinky Butt, and they are still looking for him.
How can you not locate Stinky Butt?
I don't know. Here's a follow-up story for you, folks. Most humans are powerless to resist the urge to poop. One London man with a will and a colon of steel beat the odds, managing to avoid letting one go for 47 straight days.
Has he finally gone?
Well, listen to this. The fecal fiasco started out back in January when British police arrested 24-year-old Lamar Chambers after he fled the cops in his car and allegedly swallowed drugs during the chase.
You've been reporting on it since then.
Yeah, they charged him with possession with intent to supply Class A drugs, tossed him in a cell, and they waited for him to pass the evidence. But he refused to poop, and it went on and on. They started a poop watch saga, the police did. Chambers' attorneys begged the court to let him go, claiming that there was potential of something going seriously wrong with him physically. Finally, after he went 47 days without pinching a loaf, breaking a British record for the most time spent in police custody without deucing, the cops caved in. They stuck him in a squad car, rushed him to the hospital, where a team of medical professionals did whatever the hell you do to treat someone who hasn't pooped in 6 weeks. Police rearrested Chambers on new lesser drug charges, and he's since been released on bail. So what I don't know from this story is whether or not they got the drugs out of his
system. That was the whole purpose of having him in the cell under watch.
Yeah.
I mean, surgically, your body couldn't take that amount of...
I don't know. Against all, he apparently comes out of this kind of semi-victorious. The police...
That's insane.
Yeah, to the police, perhaps he's a villain, but the everyday folks who have followed this saga since day one, he's kind of a hero.
Thank you!
Yep, exactly.
What an inspiring... We're waiting for the movie on that one with Daniel Day-Lewis.
And here's one last thing. This is a cautionary tale. This is not a good story, but a driver in New Jersey made a fatal mistake when he ignored a road-closed barricade last Thursday.
Yes.
And drove on only to run over live electrical wires down by the storms, by the last nor'easter. The driver's SUV erupted into flames in Franklin Lakes as the vehicle hit those live wires. The inferno was so bad, the driver had not been positively identified as of last reports that I saw.
I saw an aerial picture of the vehicle. It looked like it was melted into the pavement.
Yeah, fire totally gutted the vehicle, and the driver was pronounced dead at the scene. So
I think people think because they're riding on the tires and the rubber. And
if you see those road closed signs, those temporary signs, there's a good chance it could be an electrical problem, and you don't want to go down there.
Oof.
It can kill you like that.
93.3 WMMR. Audio on demand.
This sounds like the beginning of a bad joke. A horse walks into a nightclub.
Why the long face?
But that is exactly what happened at Mokai Lounge in South Beach on Thursday night, and the internet is outraged over it.
I saw this debacle.
Yeah, a video of the incident, which starts out with a bikini-clad woman riding bareback on a white horse through a crowded nightclub.
Super crowded.
Yeah.
I don't know how anyone didn't perceive that as being a danger to the people there that you bring a live horse in.
Exactly. The animal is surrounded by clubgoers and suddenly drops to the ground, bucks, and throws the woman off.
Oh, no.
And people start gasping and screaming, and the horse looks terrified, attempting to bite someone, and then the video stops. So people are up in arms for a few reasons. A lot of, safety to the people there, and also animal cruelty.
A horse rears up and kicks someone in the face. It could take your head off.
Yeah, so some
are... And maybe the horse isn't into that kind of music.
Some are asking to revoke the club's license. Miami Beach police have responded and confirmed that there is an investigation. They said that they were aware of this incident. We are very concerned over the allegations. As such, we have launched a joint investigation.
What kind of lunatics bring a horse into the place they work?
We did that.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
It was a pony.
It was a pony. It was a Shetland pony. Yeah. It was a miniature horse. But anyway.
We're better.
A woman who visited Hamburger Mary's in Tampa is suing the establishment for $1.5 million after she said she was injured by a drag queen's breast.
At Hamburger Mary.
Yeah, Neldon Molina said that she was with other guests and family members at the restaurant for dinner to celebrate a friend's birthday. The suit said Molina was unaware of the drag queen show until music began playing, and she heard someone at another table mention the show. Molina, sitting with her back to the table, watched the show before turning back around and continuing to eat and socialize with her friends. When Molina turned around again, she said performer Amanda Dahad pointed at her and began to walk toward her table. In the complaint, Molina said she turned her back around, not wishing to draw attention to herself. Amanda Dahad touched Molina's shoulder and then walked in front of her and grabbed her head. The complaint said the performer then wiggled her breast against the plaintiff's face and head 8 times. The performer allegedly grabbed Molina's face and pushed it in and shook it several times before pounding it against Dahad's chest violently. The complaint said Melina began to experience a headache and neck pain and told the manager what had happened. She later went to the emergency room at Memorial Hospital of Tampa for cervical pain.
Cervical pain?
And uncontrollable headaches.
From being motorboated?
That's apparently what she said. Melina is now seeking $1.5 million
wow.
for medical costs and expenses for the past, present, and future, as well as for pain she suffered physically and mentally.
Seems a little excessive, doesn't it?
It seems a little
just a tad
excessive.
They had to perform an emergency hysterectomy.
Yeah. A high school educator might sound like a panty thief, but it turns out he was actually a wannabe panty merchant.
Ooh.
Yeah.
The old classic panty merchant.
The 50-year-old male teacher's undoing began last July when another teacher discovered a stockpile of some 750 pairs of women's panties stored in 10 plastic shopping bags inside a cleaning supply cabinet in a room used for club activities at the school.
And they're color-coded.
Since the 50-year-old teacher was the advisor assigned to that particular club, administrators questioned him about it, and he revealed that he'd been stashing lingerie at the school since the summer of 2016.
Oh, man.
While this may sound like a clear-cut case of pervy educator swiping female students' panties while they're at swim class, the teacher insists that he purchased the panties from a specialized seller in July of 2016 for the sum of $102. He then moved them to the school a month later with the intent of reselling them during what's called Karum Commercial High Culture Festival in October. This is in Japan.
You've got it all wrong. I purchased these pre-worn panties to sniff in the school.
When the students buy and sell items at on-campus bazaar. The extremely low price per panty the teacher had purchased them for suggested the underwear was either used or part of some sort of sudden store liquidation.
Oh, man. We got caught with our panties down.
Even if the merchandise was brand new, though, it's hard to imagine female students buying lingerie from their male teacher, regardless of how much of a discount from retail prices he's offering.
I got to imagine that's fairly common. I'm sure, Kathy, you purchased a number of pieces of underwear from the custodian at your school, correct?
After failing to work out a plan to unload his merchandise in October 2016, the teacher continued to store the panty stash at the school, perhaps hoping to sell them at the October 2017 cultural festival.
Oh, exciting.
However, their discovery last July prevented that, and the teacher has been on leave ever since. This Monday, the Board of Education passed judgment in the teacher's disciplinary hearing, suspending him for 3 months.
What did they do?
Thanks for listening to Preston and Steve's Bizarre File podcast. Go to PrestonandSteve.com, click on demand for full show podcasts and to subscribe so you never miss an episode.